5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Greetings, 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 everyone. This is your So Jazzy Homegirl. We are doing a late night talk about it Tuesday on the So Jazzy Homegirl Media and Podcast with a special guest in the building. Y'all, I'm so excited, like I always am. I mean, I'm always excited, but I'm so grateful to finally snag her from a busy day. We're going to bring her in a minute, right after we play our favorite girl. We're going to play it until she reaches a billion plays, and we're definitely a part of the billion. Just J-U-S-S Singing is bringing us in once again with Capri Dim. Y'all know what to do while we're waiting. Go grab your favorite choice of drink, honey, your coffee, your tea, your juice, your water. Pick your feet up and take a seat and be ready for some good, good, good information. Y'all can dance. It's okay. I give you permission. We jamming over here, y'all. It's my turn to break all the chains. Guys, let me tell you something. I'm going to play this song until she hits a billion and probably after. And I thank her so much for giving us the opportunity to just seize the day. I think this is such a perfect song for most of the guests, especially on this series that I have been doing since the summer, which is From Pain to Power. But then we skipped all the way over and said, you know what, after we, you know, gain the power from the obstacles, now we got to reach back and empower. And so I'm going to announce my special guest, which is Stephanie R. Anderson, MCM, honey. And she is the epitome of this show. She literally, of this song, because we are going not only surviving, of course, you know, we always say we have survived. Now we're thriving, but honey, we all the way over to thriving. After we survive it, we are now in the thriving mode. And so I always wanted to make sure that Just Singing got, you know, her due rewards, because she is a phenomenal singer. But it's just been so perfect for this series that we're doing. And so without further ado, I'm going to bring Stephanie, my new friend, Stephanie, into the room. Stephanie, welcome to the So Jazzy Homegirl Media and Podcast. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for having me. Thank you, Jazzy listeners. Yes. Thank you, viewers. Thank you, my friend, Jazzy. It was so wonderful meeting you recently, and I just love your spirit.
Yes.
Oh, thank you so much. Listen, I met Stephanie over, as we're doing now, thank God for technology, met her a few months back on the Sister Vibes show with host Tracy Wilson on Black on Demand Channel TV with Swan Simpson, Coach Swan, launching that network premiere this past Sunday. And so I got to finally meet you in person after hearing your story. But the minute I heard your story months ago, I said, oh, yeah, yes, ma'am. She is going to spread that good news by faith on this podcast. And here you are. And so I always tell people I have amazing guests because that's just my word. It's just my word. But I want you, because your bio, honey, I just wanted, this is one time I wanted to read a bio and say, I'm going to tell them all your business, but I'm not going to tell them all your business. I'm going to let you tell who you are, and then we're going to talk about it. And I want to give a disclaimer. This is a sensitive topic show because we're always talking about trauma. And so if you feel like you may or may not get triggered, please stop right now, honey, get a deep drink and just go ahead and turn it off. And then when, if you're able to go back at a later date and listen, then go ahead and do that. But it is a little bit of sensitivity, but I promise you, if you can get past the sensitivity, we go right into why it's a power and empowerment show. So having said all of that, Stephanie, please introduce yourself so we can get to talking, girl.
Okay, well, thank you again, once again, for having me. My name is Stephanie Anderson. I am the president and one of the founders of NFL Sisters in Service. We are a group of NFL wives, daughters, and moms. I'm a wife who use our collective influence and resources for causes in our communities. We have several programs that we run, like the Trayvon Martin Medical Mentorship Program with the Dade County Medical Association, where we pair children who want to be doctors with doctors who look like them, come from where they had to come out to get to that path. We had 60 students graduate from that recently. We run STEM camps where we give all of the camp materials. The camp themselves are free to the participants, regardless of income. We want to make sure that our children are not being segregated by income. So we encourage all parents to bring their children to the camps. And we work with the NFL family.
I love it.
We advocate for the NFL player. We are fierce in that role. We make sure that players who don't have the big name are also protected and represented. And when we can step in and actually make a direct impact, we do. We have players who are suffering from ALS and CT and all kinds of different situations. And over just in the year 2023, NFL Sisters in Service provided over $30,000 directly to those players. And our overall impact since we were founded over $1.7. Thank you. So with that,
listen here. That's amazing. That is amazing. Over what is it? 1.5
million? 7
million. Don't let me leave off no millions now. 1.7 million in service and acts of kindness with the foundation. That's incredible. Like, that is so, don't rush past that, because I think a lot of times people don't understand the magnitude of fundraising, right? A lot of people have a lot of money, but they're not always giving to organizations that need it the most, you know? So I'm proud of you. But girl, keep on. I'm gonna give me a little drink. It's just cranberry juice and mango.
Appreciate that. It's cute though. Yeah, so with that being said,
thank you, girl. Thank you.
One of the things that we raise funds for the organization is we call on the wives and the players within the NFL community. And if there is a need that we can meet ourselves, we do that. And then we also have fundraisers. For instance, our second annual Linebackers Ball is being held May 18th in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. We're honoring the mother of Derek Thomas, a Hall of Fame linebacker, sponsored by the Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl champions. That's one of my hometowns, so yeah, I got to give a little shout out.
Listen, that's I'm going to need a ticket, and I'm going to need to pop up and cover the event. I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
Coach is coming, and so mm-hmm. is Tracy, so you might want to jump in the car.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to do a pop up and cover that from a media standpoint because it's noteworthy. I'm so proud of you. But anyway, continue. I digress.
No, we would love that, honestly. And so, yeah, that's what we do. A lot of people don't understand or realize that a lot of the NFL wives, we come from backgrounds where we have professional skills and abilities that are very useful and helpful in our communities. And so, for instance, my daughter is director of technology. Her dad is Andre Royal. She actually created all the curriculum for our STEM programs and did all of the sourcing for the materials. And then all of our kids go home after the STEM camps with a drone or with whatever it is that they've been working on. They go home with that free of charge. Our goal is to touch the lives of 1,000 children a year in STEM through direct impact and services. And we do that by partnering with organizations like the City of Lauderhill and Trayvon Martin Foundation, I've mentioned before. Mm-hmm. And others to do that.
And so, you know, listen, y'all know how y'all are always talking about me and Jazzy, you do so much and you do so much. When I find people that beat me, it's just like amazing. It's just incredible. And this sister is definitely one of those people who has, like, her resume is like the scrolls when, you know, when they rolled out the scrolls doing before Jesus. But you're in Florida. That's your home base. I know you travel the world, but that's your base where the foundations and all of the business aspects are in Florida right now, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Uh-oh, we lost you in light.
lost me for a second. Lord. It's 87 degrees out here.
I know, but honey, we can hear
Florida,
you.
So,
wow.
Yeah. So,
I wanted to step back on that. Yeah.
Yeah, we're definitely based out of Florida, but we have operations all over the country. We have a heavy presence in Tuscaloosa, Houston, Dallas, Seattle. So pretty much where there are NFL cities, we're there.
Okay, so let's go back a little bit and tell people and the listeners, how did the NFL Sisters program even get started? And then we're going to, because honey, you covered over to NFL to the STEM. And that's just the two little tiny, tiny. Because I want people to understand how we've gone from the surviving to thriving. So in the NFL, and then we'll backtrack on a few other things, but just in the NFL experience, how and why did this even get started? How did it all begin?
So we started NFL Sisters in Service informally several years before it actually started. And we started it off as because I was personally doing a lot to help NFL players who were going through issues from playing in the NFL, whether it be brain injuries, whether it be situations where they had tax situations because financial management. Whatever the case may be. So my background is I have
which is a part of your background.
Master's degree. Yes, it is. Absolutely. So my background is I have a master's degree in business management from Laterno University and an undergraduate degree from University of Alabama in corporate law and finance. And so I realized
y'all thought she was just pretty.
Thank you.
She's smart. She's smart.
English. I appreciate that. And I'm actually really proud of that because I worked really hard on my education because it was my means out of the trauma that I was going through. And so I was 12 years old, I realized that education was the only way that I was going to get out of the environment that I was in and the situation that I was in. So I was completely dedicated, even more so than I had been as in my in elementary school. So with that being said, having all these players come to me who had serious injuries from the NFL that had happened on field, on cameras, like we saw the young man who had the heart attack or had the impact and his heart stopped on the field. There were a lot of those kind of players coming to me and trying to get disability benefits from the NFL and being denied. And we were like, this is sort of odd. And I realized that there was a pattern. And so from that, I realized that I needed a lot more wives and daughters and moms to help us get that part of things started. So or helping those players. And so we've helped players with tax issues, players that they said owed $2 million and they didn't owe any money. It was just the people that were brought in to prepare these things for them were not doing them correctly. We were just charging them and sending any old thing in for them to sign. And so, you know, with that being said, it was
and
just
they don't
like
know. They don't know. This is new for most of them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You give a 20-year-old dollars, and even back then in the 2000s, it was still, you know, millions of dollars, you know, coming in. And if they don't have the right team around to protect them, then they're going to be harmed. And then we also realized that, you know, the community was always saying to us, well, why don't you give more? And why don't you do this? And why don't you do that as NFL players and families? And they didn't realize what we were doing. And then to ourselves, well, if we're doing this and you want us to do something in this area, why don't we work together? And why don't we have an organization that you can come to and access an NFL player, access an NFL wife, mom or daughter, and ask us to join with you in your cause? And so that has been, you know,
that
was one of the factors. And so, you know, that we, with that being said, one of the biggest things that we're working on, that we've been working on for the last 6 years, that we've just come to a point where we're almost having a resolution with, was with the kidnapping of an NFL player. We had an NFL player.
Girl, talk about it.
Got his concussion settlement 6 years ago. Hadn't I seen his sister and siblings had never come to visit him in Seattle. Daryl Urban had never come to visit him in Seattle. He has a wife of 30 years and six or seven children. He's got a lot of kids. And the sister sent the brother supposedly to visit and convinced them, oh, yeah, well, you should come and visit us here. And took him somewhere entirely different after taking him to the bank with a fraudulent power of attorney and withdrawing over $600,000. And kept this man for six
Stop
years.
It.
Seriously.
Stop
So
it.
We have fought.
And this was a real brother?
This is a real brother. This just we're in court right now. We're filing, we've got a case with the FBI where we're trying to get the FBI to, that was a, see, this is real life, you know, hey, I'm outside, a little beetle decided
I was gonna say, was that a real bug? I'm like, production, are we having a wardrobe malfunction? But it was actually a bug. She's in Florida. Hey, this is how it rolls. That's is how we roll.
And I grow a lot of my own food.
I love it.
Bother me. That's a pollinator. I appreciate you, brother.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, so we're this is an actual live case that's happening.
That's right, right now. So they took him from Seattle, Washington to Dallas, Texas, put him in a house underneath a nephew's name. So it took me years to find him because I couldn't trace his utilities, anything.
God.
But it had a nephew's name, right. And immediately took all of the money that, now I've got a power of attorney on this account. Immediately transferred $600,000 from his account into her savings account, and he's not on that account. And now currently has control 100% over his NFL disability benefits and Social Security. This man is in his 60s.
Okay, so now here's another part of your accolade. So why is it that you get to be a part of the case? What is your background in criminal law?
Well, I don't have any background in criminal law, but I've been an advocate in civil law for quite a long time. And I've advocated for children. I've advocated for the NFL.
We're having some outage, Stephanie, with your connection. So it's a little bit of a delay, but I just wanted you to know that. But keep going.
Okay. Thank you. One of the things that as a young person growing up in Kansas City, I became an advocate because of the experiences that I had. I was abused as a child. When I was a young girl, I had a doll. And I remembered this doll. And I was asking my parents, what happened to that doll? And my parents got this really crazy look on their face. Like they looked at each other like, oh, my God, like what in the world? And, you know. And I'd always had this memory of when I was 3 years old, but I couldn't explain it. And come to find out my doll being missing, that memory were related to sexual abuse that occurred to me when I was about 3 years old at a babysitter's house.
Wow. Okay.
Fast forward it a few years later and started experiencing the same thing again. Was actually raped at the age of 15 by an older kid. And then even raped again by an actor in my 20s. That is a very well-known actor that starred in the movie Life and was very large. Okay, so I'll leave that at that. And so with all of that, I realized that what helped me therapeutically was fighting and advocating for others. Like literally everything that I do for free because it helps my mental health. And so just recognize the things that these people were going through and experiencing and understanding the background that I had in that and my ability to, as I said, my education was in international corporate law, just being able to break some of those things down. And advocating.
Listen, a lot of times our experiences will be the leading factor of why foundations are started, advocacy is started, you know, social justice has started. It generally doesn't come out of, hey, I went to school for this and I just want to do it. It most all the time comes from the experience of pain. And yeah. And it's unfortunate, but that pain pushes us to want to alleviate that opportunity or those challenges for someone else, right?
Yes,
and then absolutely. We start meeting people with the similar and same type of stories. I tell people all the time, you know, Yanla says, it's just a part of your story. It doesn't have to be your whole book. It's just the part of the story. And if we take those little moments, if we take those, now mind you, those moments when we're going through it is gruesome. It's gruesome, right? But once we get over on the other side and we look back at, hey, I made it. Now, would I ever choose to go through that again? Not even ever. But I take the story. I take the experience. And from the experience, the story becomes larger and larger because now it's expanding because now I'm helping those that have gone through the same type of thing, you know, and as you look, as if you'll look back at my own story, I tell people often I was molested and it took me a long time to recognize that I was molested when I was about, maybe I was about 7 or 8. By a babysitter, same situation. And then later raped at 19 by someone I knew, right? And then abusive relationship with my husband and being raped by my husband, you know, in marriage, which at that time they did consider it rape. But it was. And so, you know, abuse and domestic violence and all those things. And I think when you were here and you were speaking, I said a lot of times we subconsciously don't know we're pulling and drawing from those experiences to bring more like experiences. And so we have to deal with that trauma part of our brain and experience through therapy and through other things for it to come out so that we now draw greater experiences.
Absolutely. And you know what? Therapy mm-hmm. wasn't helpful for me because my therapist literally had to fact check everything. He's like, this is so bad.
Wow. He needed to be fired. He needed to be fired.
But he literally
I had to fire a couple of therapists.
I'll never forget
I
it.
Did.
He was a girl. And he was one of, you know, it's not like you get to, I didn't go and choose him. I was going through some PTSD at the time. And it was very, very traumatizing.
Right, right.
And so they assigned me a therapist and this was the therapist. And literally, he just sat there and he said, you're either lying or this is horrible. This is like really, really bad. And I just gotta know. Like, I need to understand. Like, did all of this really happen? Like, I was kicked out by a police officer. Like, all kinds of crazy stuff is to me.
Yes.
And
And
rescued by the police. So let me just put it out there. I'm not anti-police. I was very thankful that the police came and got me. But I was taken by a police officer in my 20s. And so, like, all of these things, you know, it just shaped, you know, what my motivation was in terms of making sure, like you said, that I didn't go through it. I literally got taken right before Sandra Bland was murdered, and it was not even an hour from where she was taken from. And when I got to And when the police got me to, because it came over the radio that, a young Black female has been kidnapped, possibly by someone impersonating a police officer. And the officer, he didn't know what to do at that point. Like, all the color went out of him. He didn't have much to begin with. And he just drove around a little bit longer. And he finally drove. Now, he had taken me from outside of his jurisdiction and he was off duty. So this was like not even, anything he had just. So he took me back to his jurisdiction because at that point, now he's got to explain. And the other, when he got me there, the officers they transferred me over to where my car was, where I was taken from. And when I got to that location, those officers told me, "We don't know who you know, but you're supposed to be raped and dead in a swamp somewhere right now." That came out of their mouth. Thankfully, my uncle was an FBI agent in Houston, and I was taken from Texas. From Louisiana. And so it was witnessed. So immediately it was reported. But, having these experiences.
Oh, and then my God.
About, a Trayvon Martin walking home from the grocery store with, drinking and being targeted and then killed. You can relate to that happening. You can see how that happened. People can, say whatever they want to, but when you have that personal experience, you understand that that because you have that personal experience, you've got to speak up.
Exactly. See, now I can attest to so many parts of your these last few minutes of conversation, because and when I say therapy, definitely. Therapy does not always come from the licensed professional. It comes from, the cousin, the lady at the grocery store, the helping someone else, a good therapist, licensed clinical therapist. It comes from the doctor, the pastor. It comes from so many different avenues. But I remember having a doctor say to me, I had just had surgery. And he said, "I don't even know why you're crying." And I said, I don't feel good. I don't know what's going on. I was in a very abusive relationship. And my husband at the time, it felt like he was trying to make me go crazy. Like he would say something so ridiculous that I knew wasn't true, but he would be like, "You don't say," for example, here's a green apple. And I would say, "Oh, that green apple is so good." And he'd say, "What's wrong with you? You can't tell this is a red apple, but you're looking at a green apple." But he was making it so convincing that you literally thought, "Well, maybe it's me." And so I'm telling the therapist this, and I'm crying. And he said, "I just think you're a fraud. I just think you're on drugs, that you want drugs. Okay, first of all, I don't drink, never have. I don't do drugs, never have, never smoked anything, never, 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 as in 56 years of my life, never, okay? Wanted to drink, alcohol does not work for my system, so it wasn't my thing." And I said, "You know what? You're fired. You're absolutely fired. Because if you check my records, I just had surgery. I've turned down every single pain medication, legal pain medication, because I don't do medications. It does not work well with my body. So I am attesting to you and letting you know, yes, there are some horrible, horrible therapists, horrible, that don't have your best interests." And then fast forward over to my own personal life. My grandson was kidnapped in Florida. Florida is one of those places, woo-wee. Anyway, he was kidnapped in Florida at 1 year old.
Oh my God.
And we didn't get him back until 5 years later. And, my daughter and I going through this up and down, up and down. He was kidnapped by the ex-boyfriend, not the baby's father.
Wow.
When I say that's a whole story within itself.
Yeah.
But I'm saying all those things to say is you don't think it'll happen to you. You don't think it'll happen to your family. You just have no, this can't happen. There is no way, because it's so unbelievable. And that story within itself, so it's dramatic to say the least, and knowing that the state and the people in position will not help you.
Yeah.
Right. And you have to fight and find your way to making some changes. So, you know, from pain to power to empowerment, you know, from getting beyond the survival and thriving is so crucial. It's so crucial for other people to recognize, no, weird, crazy stories happen. That's why we have Lifetime. This is why Lifetime was even invented, because you have crazy people doing crazy things.
Yes.
Right, right. So, but go on. I just wanted you to know you got a sister that understands.
I appreciate that, because I was like, you know what, this isn't helpful for me at all. And I'm just going to go back to taking care of myself the way that I normally take care of. And so, and so that's sort of been like my pattern in life. And even, you know, getting to meet the president when I was in middle school or early high school, that was literally because, you know, I have been fighting and creating programs since I was 12 years old, because I have been going through trauma since 12 years old. And so I was creating programs out of my community. You know, I grew up in a very impoverished neighborhood in Kansas City, a very drug and gang infested neighborhood in Kansas City. I grew up during a time where the moms were selling their daughters off for drugs and for crack.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
And so, you know, I went to Washington, and I at the invitation of Ronald Reagan, and because I had become the first National Youth of the Year in the 125-year history of the award, and went there and expressed to him and to Congress, these are the things that are going on in my
Which president? Which president was it?
It was Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan.
Okay.
So, you know, mm-hmm. while you're telling us to just say no, you know, there are girls that are just being sold. And, you know, we're experiencing sex trafficking.
That's
when
it.
Whether it's all sex trafficking. You
That's
know,
it.
And so.
Exactly. Exactly.
And so, you know, I was blessed. I had my mom and my dad in my household. And my dad was the coach of the neighborhood of the football teams and the basketball teams and stuff. So I could walk to school and walk to the Boys and Girls Club and be safe. But
mm-hmm.
then,
mm-hmm.
it was not safe. It wasn't safe. And so, like, all of these things needed to be expressed. And so that's sort of been one of the things that I've tried to do, and which is one of the reasons why I do want to go ahead and write a book about, you know, just not so much my story, but the story of what, you know, this journey in America looks like for many of us that's not discussed.
Right.
You know,
right.
Having people to tell their stories, and they're either being paid a lot of money to bastardize our stories, and they look like us, or they're being, you know, we're being sold out altogether and they're not being told. And so they're either not telling our stories accurately,
mm-hmm.
or not telling them at all. And I think that we collectively have, you know, something that the story of overcoming here in America that Black and brown people have done. I don't think that white people understand, especially poor white people understand, how closely related our stories are, and how if we,
mm-hmm.
you could hear our story, you could see yourselves in our stories, and maybe you wouldn't hate us. Maybe you would understand that we're both being used by a certain group to keep, you know, this narrative going. And I'll give you a perfect example. Uh-huh. Look at what just happened with Donald Trump and him releasing his stock for his media company. Donald Trump literally just took wealth from people who support him, that looked like him, and who are doing uh-huh. for him.
Uh-huh.
If I release a product that I know is not making money, and I do it under fraudulent circumstances, and I know you're going to support me because I've given you rhetoric that sounds like what you want to hear, and then you transfer mm-hmm. a little bit of money that you have, because wealthy white people did not take any money and put it in that stock. Poor white people did. They put their hard-earned money into that stock.
Yes.
There was a large
exactly.
transfer
exactly.
that took place after that happened. Because that stock went down, it opened up high, immediately went down. Other wealthy white people came in and bought it up because they bought it at pennies on the dollar and transferred your wealth.
That's right.
Didn't take your wealth. Other people that look like you took it.
Exactly. But see, now you, Stephanie, I see I'm going to have to make a trip to Florida. And we just going to have to do a face-to-face, and it's going to have to be done in sections, because you're such a wealth of knowledge in so many different areas. And those are areas that we need. You know what I mean? And we don't have time to put it all into one show. So I already know this is just like, hey, girl, because it's so much, right? It's so much. And I'm here for it. I'm so here for it.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. You're welcome to come down anytime. The mangoes are in season. They're falling off the tree. So,
hey, you know, let's, I have so many places I want to go. But I do want to talk about, you know, and you touched on it, and this was, again, I was picking so many different things when Tracy was doing your interview. Like, oh, I want to talk about it. Oh, I want to hear that. Oh, I want, you know. When I read your bio in finances, I was already like, oh, this is going to be a whole finance guru who will be on this show on a regular. Second of all, because I have grandchildren, you know, that love gaming, I was hooked. Like, nope, got to talk to her. Need to know how to get these kids involved. What can we do? How can we become a part of the program? And so you kind of touched on your daughter, your beloved only daughter, on her developing programs and everything in the STEM part. But let's talk about that whole sector, right? So that we know, one, how to get in touch with you and how to have our children involved, but the importance of them having the freedom to say, I'm not just playing games.
Yes.
Honey, what? I'm over here developing, coding, and putting it together and becoming an entrepreneur at a very young age. Baby, take the floor and let's talk about that.
Absolutely. So when my daughter was 9 years old, she said that she was going to have a business one day where she taught children how to code. I didn't even know what coding was. I didn't know Java. I didn't know HTML. I didn't know Microsoft C#. I didn't know Python. I don't even know where she learned. She thinks she taught it to herself. And so I was, oh, mm-hmm. that's cute. Okay. And so fast forward, in her 20s, that's exactly what she does. She has a business where she teaches kids coding by teaching them on a game development platform to build and develop their own video games. And so that's what...
I'm loving it.
It's amazing. We have children who have all different types of abilities that are in there that are thriving. And when I tell you these kids know 8, 9 languages, computer languages. So my daughter knows 9 computer languages, and she is, you know, seven verbal languages. I don't know what you call it because I don't speak seven languages. So she speaks seven languages and she codes in nine languages. And so she had her first project.
That's crazy.
Her sophomore year at Embry-Riddle, where she developed a drill that could be used on Mars. And they brought her down to the Johnson Space and Rocket Center to try out that drill and with the divers and instruct them. And that drill is being used on Mars in the space program. And so she's still in her 20s.
Wow, I need a whole autograph.
It's like giving all the knowledge to children who were just like her when she was younger, who had this interest, but there weren't a lot of resources around them for it. The other kids may not have understood them, may have thought they were a little strange. The mamas may have thought they was a little strange, may not have understood the words that were coming out of their mouth, you know, all of that. And now she has this Code Ninjas Fort Lauderdale, where she has the largest Code Ninjas in the country. And she has a room, it's just all computers where they learn the code. And then she has another room that's all robotics and drones and chess and all these different things where they have a community so that they could come together and work on projects together, whatever it is that they want. And so that has been like a really super rewarding experience for us. And she was doing it. She did it for so many years for free through the charity. Like she was the director of technology for the charity for 10 years before we bought the business. And so, you know, she's a young business owner. We're very proud of what she's doing in that community. We don't turn away any children at Code Ninjas Fort Lauderdale if they are unable to pay, because we have NFL Systems and Service that offers them a scholarship. So we cover it.
I love it.
Ensure that
so either way, they can do it. Yeah.
They're going to do it. That's right. Absolutely.
Wow. Now, is Code Ninjas her title, or is that some large conglomerate from state to state, country to country?
It's a franchise. So it's over 400.
Gotcha.
They just started maybe 7 years ago. There are over 400 franchises around the United States, the UK, and a couple of other countries now. It's probably even more than that, but that's when we bought in. It was at 400. And you know, it's just a wonderful way for her to be able to do exactly what she wanted to do as a child and already have that business model, like the McDonald's or anything else, already right there to get to. So,
right. Wow. Wow. So now, if any one of the students, let's say in Georgia, because I'm Georgia and California, and they wanted to be a part of that, they would have to go to the Code Ninja in that area, or could they also be a part of your Florida network?
They could go to the Code Ninjas in their area, but we have students who are coming in from out of town to go to our particular camps, because we partner with a lot of our community partners in order to provide resources at our Code Ninjas that are not taking place in other places. For instance, we have a program called NFL Chess for Life, where chess grandmaster Elliot Neff and his team come up and set up stations, 16 stations or so. And we have NFL players man each of those stations, two players at a station. The kids learn a chess skill at that station. When they master it, the NFL players autographs their passport, and they have all, they go through all of the stations, get all their
wow.
They go home with a chess set. They go home with, you know, books on financial literacy. So, you know, with what
I love it
era was that I had to be really creative and offering opportunities that don't always exist. And so when I was raising my daughter in the 90s and the early 2000s, you know, none of this stuff was out there. So what I, you know, one of the things that everybody teases me about is that I
write
a book called How You Raise a Rocket Scientist. That's the book you should write. And so, it's really about like just coming and creating all these opportunities in the space for our children to excel and, you know, giving them exposure to different things and not assuming that they, you know, won't be interested in certain things. And then cutting off the TV, taking off the phones. Like we didn't have a TV in our house.
Right.
Sacrificed that ourselves as a family, her dad and I, until she was like 8, 9 years old. Like there was not going to be a television because we needed her to learn how to learn. We needed her to learn how to entertain herself, learn how to create. And if you're watching creations,
Well, it doesn't offer you critical thinking.
Exactly.
Wow.
That sold her first art.
I love this. Oh my God.
She sold her first.
This is mind blowing. I'm so like impressed. I'm so impressed.
She had her first artwork sold to a museum.
Her first artwork piece?
Yeah, at 9 years old to a museum in North Carolina where her dad played football at. Because, just took that kind of initiative because she had not been limited by what she was being, you know, shown on television. And so she was painting, she was creating different
Parts of her.
And she created a replica of the Kiss by I forgot the artist's name, Goth or something like that, but it's the Kiss at 9 years old.
Wow.
And a children's museum in Charlotte, North Carolina bought that painting from her.
I love it. I absolutely. Okay, so we're going to have to, I have a show that I still need to upload. We had some technical difficulties in December, but we have a chess master here in Georgia. And I need that whole program to come here and work with the NFL here. So that's something on the back end we need to talk about like pretty quickly, because I think definitely chess allows our children to have critical thinking. They're able to see how they can strategize in ways that other things don't give them that thinking. You got to think it through. You can't just make moves without thinking it through. And chess prepare. I didn't even know how to play chess. Still don't. Hello. But I made sure my boys, at the time my daughter was in Virginia with her father, but I made sure my boys, especially my little black boys, you need to know how to critically think.
That's right.
Because you may be put in positions that you didn't even ask for just because of the color of your skin and your gender.
That's so true.
And so I saw how that allowed them to, you know, catapult forward. And even they went some crazy directions, but they came back, right? That and, you know, scripture. But anyway, but I think it's important for our children to have that one up in stem cell research and learning how to code and learning science in different ways and using art and abstract thinking and doing so that they can not be put in those boxes of, oh, they can only be sports people. They can only be musicians. They can, you know, the world is open to them when they have those opportunities, like
your daughter. Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, I'm excited. So tell, because we got about 6 more minutes. Tell everybody what you want them to know in these last few minutes about what you're doing, what's coming up, how they can get in touch, how they can help, how they can support you and all of, and some of the things, because girl, we'll be here to tomorrow.
Well, I'll just go through like some of the things that we have coming up in the next couple of weeks. We have our linebacker spall and fashion show. Again, as I mentioned before, Legends Live Forever, honoring the mom of Derek Thomas, that's in Tuscaloosa.
Okay, say that one more time because you went out. So lean close and just be really still so we can get it all.
Okay, fashion show that's coming up May 18th in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, honoring the mom of Derek Thomas. Then we have our hackathon here in Fort Lauderdale this coming weekend. One of our board members, who's also an NFL player, who's expert when you deal with cybersecurity expert. He has put together this amazing event.
Okay.
It's a 2-day event as well. But I'm super excited that NFL Sisters in Service has been working for the last year on securing ownership and professional sports league for former and retired NFL players and their wives. And that sports league is the National Rugby Football League, one of the oldest sports in the world, one of the most profitable. And I'm
so God, are you serious?
I'm very serious. And I'm even more excited to say that this ownership by their images and their likeness as opposed to their pocketbooks, thanks to NFL Sisters in Service.
I love it. Make sure to email me all of that so I can post, so everybody knows how to find you and all of your information. We definitely have to get together because everything you're saying is everything that I either want to do or am already a part of in other ways. And we can just kind of tag team on, girl, I do this, you do this, I do this, we do this, and doing some things together. I do believe always in partnership and collaboration because I think when we come together, oh, it's so much better. It's so much better.
Absolutely.
It's so much better. Thank you so much, Stephanie, for coming on. This is not the last time, y'all. This is not the last time. We have way too much to talk about. I want to be a part of every single possible thing that you're doing simply because I believe in it. I have, honey, we're going to talk and you're going to be like, oh, my God.
Thank you.
Because you hit on most every topic that I deal with, and I'm here for it. I love it. You are a beautiful soul and a beautiful light, and so many people are blessed by your courageousness and your tenacity to not give up. And so we thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Miss Jazzy. I really appreciate the opportunity to speak with you today. Thank you so much. Thank you to your viewers.
You're so welcome
and listening to us. And I hope that, you know, I get this opportunity again because it's just really been a blessing.
Oh, no, this is ongoing. You might as well just get your, you know, mic and your outfit and everything and just be ready for once a month coming on to talk about something because you got a lot to talk about. And I love
it.
Thank you, darling. Good night.
Thank you.
I am going to end this with our sponsor for the day, which is Warespace Office and Studios here in Atlanta, Georgia, 1650 Marietta Boulevard, Atlanta, Georgia, where you can come and get space for your studio like this beautiful one that I am in right now. You didn't even get a chance to come in the studio. You didn't even get a chance. You saw
beautiful.
The event space part, the cafeteria.
Oh, my Lord. I loved it. Since you said the address.
See, she can attest. She can attest to it. She can attest to it. She can totally attest to it that it is definitely a place where you can do business. They have UPS, FedEx, all of the shipping inbound and outbound. Huge spaces. So, you know, get in contact with me. I definitely will let you know who to contact. And you can get in touch with me at SoulJazzyHomeGirl.com, or you can get in touch with me with SoulJazzyHomeGirl@gmail.com, and we'll let you know how and who you need to talk to about space for office, events, and or warehouse space. Anywho, you guys know that I love you so much. You did not have to choose to stop and listen and pay attention to anything that we said, but you did, and I love you for it, because it is the millions of podcasts that you have an opportunity to take time and listen to, look at. But today you joined us here in the studio of the So Jazzy Homegirl Media and Podcast, and I thank you. Until next time. Love you all. Good night.
Good night.